Hello and welcome to a tribute show that we're doing this week. And this week we're covering, we're doing a tribute to Gerry O'Malley, a legendary Roscommon footballer. And as you know, we did a tribute to the late great Dermot Airlie. And this week we're going to cover the late great Gerry O'Malley and what a footballer he was, Gerry. Or Ray, I should say.
He was indeed, Aidan. He was a colossus. That's what he was. Gerry O'Malley played for Roscommon from 1947 to 1964. And during that time, he was the star performer for Roscommon in what was a relatively bleak era for Roscommon. They won, okay, we won four Connacht championships in 52 and 53, and then in 61 and 62. And Gerry was the mainstay of that team from centre half back or from midfield. In 1961, he was chosen as Footballer of the Year by the Association of Gaelic Sports Journalists in a countrywide ballot. And that was at a time when he was 33 years of age. So Gerry was an immense star for Roscommon in both football and in hurling, because we must remember that he was a star for Four Roads for many years. He won four senior football championships between St Patrick's, which were in Knockrockery, where he started his career, and then St Bridget's, where he won Roscommon senior championships as well. He won seven hurling championships with Four Roads, and he won an All-Ireland junior championship with Roscommon in 1965 when they defeated Warwickshire.
He was a well-decorated player, so.
He was indeed. He captained Roscommon in the 1962 All-Ireland final, which they lost to Kerry by 112-16. And unfortunately for Gerry, his game ended very soon. You know, early in that game, he took a heavy challenge and he ended up having to leave the field, which was a massive loss for Roscommon. But his performances in the Connacht finals, Aidan, of 1952 and 62 would be remembered long in the memory, where he inspired Roscommon to unlikely victories against Mayo in 52, who were the then double All-Ireland champions, and against Galway in 1962, where Roscommon came from 5 points down with less than 10 minutes to go to win that game in a thriller in McHale Park in Castlebar at a time when the crossbar was broken. So that was the Gerry O'Malley final in 62. And after his career, he went to live in Dublin, and he trained the Roscommon County players in Dublin in 1970 and 71. He also trained the Dublin club team St Mawes to the Dublin Junior Championship in 72 and the Intermediate Championship in 73. And he was a president of Roscommon GAA, and of course he's now commemorated in with a monument to his memory in Bridewell, which is a great, if you like, token and gesture by the local people to treasure the memory of a real Roscommon hero, Gerry O'Malley.
Well, a very modest man as well in many ways. I've often heard a lot of people saying that he was modest, and he was a very amiable man, a lovely man to talk to, and would always give a very people person.
Absolutely, and that seems to be a trait of the lot of the great heroes of sport in football and hurling and other sports. Dermot Airlie the same, very modest, very humble, and humility is a characteristic, you know, common to all the greats. In many sports, you see these guys and women, very humble people, very aware of their, you know, talent and aware of who they're performing for, and they would have it in the back of their minds that they're using their talent to bring joy to their supporters. And Gerry O'Malley and Dermot Airlie were always conscious of representing Roscommon to the best of their ability and to bring enjoyment to the supporters, and they brought so much enjoyment to Roscommon supporters over such a long period of time. And it's also fitting, Aidan, that both Gerry O'Malley's career and Dermot Airlie's career sort of dovetailed, in the sense that Gerry O'Malley played for Roscommon from 47 to 65, and Dermot Airlie started playing with Roscommon from 65 to 85. So you'd a link from 1985 right back to 47, where those two players transcended, you know, four decades of sport in Roscommon.
So really, I suppose you could nearly say then that I suppose Gerry O'Malley would have been an inspiration to Dermot Airlie, you know, when they're, I suppose, both their careers dovetail so well like that. You know, he would have been a hero of Dermot Airlie's, I'm sure.
Well, I've read, Aidan, that was the case, that Dermot Earley held Gerry O'Malley as his hero growing up, and that he, you know, he was starting off with Roscommon when Gerry was finishing. And Roscommon, we've had great players right through the decades, but none have really got to that level of Gerry O'Malley and Dermot Earley standard. We have tremendous footballers in so many eras in Roscommon, but Gerry O'Malley and Dermot Earley sort of like, you know, they're there at the very top. You know, what they've done, their exploits.
Imagine if they played together, Ray, what a team Roscommon would have had.
Wouldn't that be amazing, Aidan? Imagine if Dermot Earley and Gerry O'Malley were together. If Roscommon had Gerry O'Malley in 1980 and Roscommon had against Kerry, and if Roscommon had Dermot Earley in 1962 against Kerry, imagine that. But that's what small counties and low populations aspire to, having two greats or legends coming together at the same time, you know. And like, you look at the Kerry team of the 80s with Jack O'Shea and Pat Spillane, Mike Sheehy, Ogie Morden, John Egan, Tim Kennelly, John O'Keefe, you know, it's some of the greatest footballers of all time playing together. Together, the one era, which was remarkable, and I suppose that's why great teams stand out. You know, they're fortunate the counties have an abundance of amazing footballers, like Bomber Liston as well, at the one time. And Kilkenny had that in the hurling in 2000, you know, from maybe 2002 to 2011 or 12. Henry Shefton, Eddie Brennan, you know, Brian Hogan, you know, JJ Delaney, Noel Hickey, Michael Fenley, all these players, some of the greatest exponents of the game of hurling, came together at the one time. So imagine if Roscommon had Gerry O'Malley, Tony McManus, Dermot Earley, Aidan Brady, Harry Keegan, Pat Lindsay, you know, Jimmy Murray, I suppose, you know, all the great players. It's a nice thing to imagine, but imagine if you had all of those players together. John Newton, Shane Pillorn.
There would have been a few All-Irelands in that team.
Yeah, Liam Gilmartin. You know, there's a good one for fans. Would you swap the two All-Irelands from 44 and 43 to maybe getting five or six in a row if we had all the stars together? I think I'd look for the six in a row, you know what I mean? Maybe with the Pat Lindsay, Harry Keegan, Danny Murray, Gerry O'Malley, Liam Gilmartin, Eamon Boland, Dermot Earley, Tony McManus, Paul Earley, Junior McManus, all coming together at the one time. Roscommon would have been a phenomenal team, you know, but there we go. We can keep dreaming, I suppose, you know. And Conor Cox wouldn't be far off that team either. Like, his performances last year, you know, were as good as any forward ever played for Roscommon, you know. The way he led the forward line for Roscommon last year. So, but that was Gerry O'Malley's career, Aidan, in the sense that he was a legend for his time. The first mention of him playing in a Connacht final was in 1950, Roscommon lost to Mayo, and Gerry O'Malley had come on the scene at that stage, and he was playing midfield with Eamon Boland, and Roscommon lost the Connacht final in 1950. But he started his career, Aidan, with St Patrick's, which was a club in St Dominic's now, and they had, of course, Jimmy and Philip Murray. They had, you know, Paddy English played for Roscommon fullback in 52 and 53, and then you had Gerry O'Malley. So, like, you had a great team there, and they were dominant in Roscommon in the 40s, winning county championships with Tarman. And Tarman were outside Castlereagh. They were the club of Dan O'Rourke, and they went on to win a few county championships in the 40s. They won in 39. Tarman won the county championship in 39. They beat Ballymurray. They beat Ballymurray, which is Dominic's or St Patrick's area, in 1940. They beat St Patrick's in 41 as well in a replay. They beat them in St Patrick's then turned the tables on Tarman, and they won the county final in 42 and 45. That's Jimmy Murray's team turned the tables on Tarman. And then in 47, Tarman defeated St Patrick's 2-13 to 2-2. So right in the 40s, that rivalry was there, and Jimmy Murray, Phelan Murray, and the great Gerry O'Malley started his career with St Patrick's in the football. But in 1948, Gerry O'Malley was on the four roads team, which won the 1948 Roscommon Championship. So like he was, his hurling career was taken off, and he was a noted hurler, played for Connacht in the Railway Cup, and people say that, some people say that that was his favourite game, playing for Rhodes. So Dermot Early, or Gerry O'Malley, missed out in playing for Roscommon in 1947. We covered that a few weeks ago, where they beat Sligo in the Connacht final, and then they lost to Cavan in the semi-final. But he started his career with Roscommon against Leitrim in the autumn of 1947 in the league, and he was also playing junior for Roscommon. So, like, in December 1947, there was a tournament game in Croke Park. Roscommon defeated an understrength Kerry team by 3-7 to 1-6. But a notable newcomer on that team was Gerry O'Malley. And his name also appeared on the junior team, Roscommon junior team, defeated by Galway in the Connacht final in 1947. So the junior team included Gerry O'Malley, Paddy English, JP Doc O'Callaghan. You know, these guys went on, Eamon O'Donoghue, they went on to become the backbone of the Roscommon football team of 52 and 53, which won the Connacht final. So Gerry O'Malley started his career there in the junior team, and made his way up to the senior ranks. By 1950, he was midfield, as I said, in the Connacht final, which Roscommon lost pretty well to Mayo. So then the St. Bridget's Club was founded, Aidan, and Gerry O'Malley went on to play with St. Bridget's, and they won various senior championships over the last few years. He was a mainstay of that club for many years. Yeah. He won championships in the 50s with them. And
you just said there, you mentioned there, and I thought it was very poignant, I just thought I'd raise it, is, you know, back in those days, the Railway Cup was huge. Isn't it sad now that it has lost its importance if it hasn't not been held anymore? Like, it used to be the game of the year, like nearly as highly held as the All-Ireland final itself in both hurling and football. It must have been a wonderful centrepiece every year.
It was, Aidan, and like it packed Croke Park on St. Patrick's Day. It was the main tournament to kick off the season. You know, in March every year, St. Patrick's Day, the Railway Cup was the big one. And it figured a lot of the players from the lower level counties that would have got their chance to play with the big guns. So like in Connacht, Leitrim would have supplied players to Connacht, the Connacht teams, like Patrick McGarty we spoke about last week, Sligo as well, Naas O'Dowd. They would have mixed it with the big Galway players and Roscommon players and Mayo players. Similarly in Munster, you'd have teams like Waterford, Clare, Limerick wouldn't have figured, Tipperary wouldn't have figured that much, but their best players would have gone on to play with the Railway Cup. But Aidan, I think as well, the club championship sort of took over from it on St. Patrick's Day, and it filled in that fixture. And also I think the players and the commitment that went into county senior football got so big that the Railway Cup sort of
time really in the calendar.
Exactly, and it no longer became the showpiece event early in the season. Players then kept playing, but the fans lost interest in it. And I suppose, Aidan, if the supporters lose interest in a tournament or in a competition, that's the end of it. Do you know, if the supporters weren't going to Croke Park on St. Patrick's Day for the Railway Cup, which would start to happen, you know, that told its own story. I suppose other things went wrong.
It was just sad the way it went, like, you know, from it being such a prestigious tournament, like, you know, to have been, well, obviously, you know, I suppose a generational thing and different things happen and all that, and I suppose the level of commitments required nowadays is different. But I suppose like you just said there, now it has been replaced by the All-Ireland Club final now as well. But wouldn't it be, you know, it's still, you know, it was from something that was so big that it's now become, I think, you know, well, it's said that really players aren't in, you'd wonder, is it the players that aren't interested in it, or is that just the media saying that the players aren't interested or having the time, you know?
I think the supporters aren't interested in it. I think the fans aren't. There's too many games now for your own county team to go around the country to watch that and GA and Gaelic football and hurling has become so hard to for the players to.
I suppose the National League is still on as well at that time of year as well. So
absolutely, but I think county football has got so players are so busy now with their jobs and careers and also training. All right, they do turn up for the Railway Cup, but fans now they see their own county and that's it. And you can't blame the supporters. You know the interprovincial thing. Interprovincial thing has died in rugby as well. You know, interprovincial used to be a big thing with rugby. Used to have always in the '80s. I remember was a very very big thing. That's nearly gone now as well. You know that because club in rugby and has become so strong. Similarly with the club and the county thing in Gaelic football has become so strong, so busy. Players have so much to do at all levels. They have their jobs as well, and the interprovincial thing is just something that is no longer. Like traditions and things pass by, you know, and people lose interest, but the supporters have lost interest in the Railway Cup. And if the supporters lose interest, the media loses interest, and then if the media lose interest, the marketing people from various businesses have no interest in it. Now, you have to give credit to Martin Donnelly. He sponsored it for years and years and years, but ultimately, Aidan, it just ran out of steam, and it's something that I don't think will be coming back anytime soon, because fans now, Roscommon and Mayo are so big of rivals. Roscommon and Galway are so big rivals, and I don't think the provincial thing will come back. But Gerry O'Malley was on the Railway Cup for many, many years for Roscommon and in the hurling as well, you know. And with St Bridget's, he won county championships in 58, 59, 63, and he coached them to win the county championship in 69, Aidan. So he was an agricultural advisor. He was based down in the West, the Midlands and West, for the early part of his career. And then he went to Dublin, and that was then the end of his association with St Bridget's, really. But his career was over. His footballing career was over at that stage. But as I said, he continued to train Dublin-based Roscommon players. So with the first mention, another mention we have of Gerry O'Malley is in 1949 when Roscommon lost to Mayo 2-10-1-9 in the Connacht Championship, and he was midfield with Eamon Boland in that day as well. And 1950 as well, they played in the Connacht final, and Roscommon were beaten 1-7-4. And again, Gerry O'Malley had partnered Boland at midfield. So the 40s were the golden era of Roscommon. So the 50s had an era of depression to an extent about it. Though it's not the veterans of the 40s combined with the new kids on the block and the real stars, Eamon Donoghue, Aidan Brady, and then, of course, Gerry O'Malley. Roscommon still possessed the capacity to challenge. But after 52 and 53, the challenge from Roscommon was pretty weak. So there was lean years after that. But we must give credit to Gerry O'Malley and Roscommon in 1952, Aidan. And that was that was the year that Roscommon really took off under Gerry O'Malley. Like Mayo had won the All-Irelands in 50 and 51. And in 52, they got to the Connacht final with Roscommon. And Roscommon beat them by 3-5-6, which was, you know, an unbelievable defeat for the All-Ireland champions. Like, that's 8 Roscommon beat them by in the Connacht final. And no one had given them any chance of victory in that game. So,
and I suppose, really, you know what makes it even more fascinating? Back in the, you know, the 40s, the 30s, 40s, 50s and all that in that area. In that era, what makes it more, even more fascinating about the GAA, that, you know, with all the issues going on in society at the time, you know, it still thrived and competition still happened. You know what I mean yourself about what would have went on in those eras.
Absolutely, Aidan. But the people, I suppose, looking back on it in the 50s, Ireland was still a poor country. Like the 50s had the biggest immigration, I'd say ever, you know, from the famine times. There was little in the way of television. We didn't have the television. There was people with mainly a rural rural country, where the Gaelic games were the main pastime. I hear from people that lived through that era that their pastime in the evening during the summer was either do the hay and the turf, when that was done, go kicking football in a field, and there might be 50 people in the field. You know, that was the great fun that they had. You know, they had no organised games in the evening times then, but they had the clubs, of course. But neighbours would come together in one of the fields, and they would just kick the ball around, and they'd have a match, and they made their own entertainment and their own fun. And then in the winter time, they had the dark evenings, and there'd be a lot of visitors coming to the house telling stories, and they called the old rambling houses and Cayleys. Like, and you hear from people that didn't have an awful lot of money, but they were very, very happy in, you know, those big families, big populations in rural areas where football was the main hobby and main pastime. And then they had plays and they had sketches and stuff like that. They were very, very articulate people. They were very learned. They knew their, like, local theatre was very, very strong, and local football. And in the wintertime, people were coming together and visiting each other. And then they would help each other at the turf and the hay. You know, the whole concept of the mehel, where people would come together and help each other to bring in the hay. You know, neighbours would move from, you know, farm to farm, helping each other. And then they were all, Gaelic football was the main priority at that time. The GAA was such a strong force. So, like, nowadays we have so much communication, so much distractions and travel, and people are so busy with their work that we forget that in the 40s and the 50s, people were still very happy people. You know, they had big families, they had big local populations, a lot of entertainment that they made themselves, and good characters. And yeah, there wasn't university or college for most of them, so they stayed at home or and played football and did farming. And of course, then unfortunately, as they got older, people moved away to maybe Dublin or Galway or even to England, you know, for work. So
yeah,
but in 1952, Aidan, this is one of the great moments in Gerry O'Malley's career. It was the 1952 Connacht final, and it was a very good team performance. Roscommon won 3-5-6 points against the All-Ireland champions Mayo, and the hero of the hour was Gerry O'Malley. He gave one of the greatest displays seen in a Connacht final at centre back. The Mayo paper, while expressing natural disappointment at the below par performance of the Mayo team, were generous in their praise of Roscommon and especially O'Malley. The Western People said he gave a great display, so outstanding that no praise of the writer would give just merit. Four great Mayo players, Kearney, Mongey, Langan and Irwin, tried their luck with O'Malley that day, but to no avail. The Roscommon Herald saw him as the keystone of a great half-back line with Bat Lynch and Frank Kelly on either wing, making a half-line which equaled the great line of the 40s. Other stars that day were Paddy English at full-back. He just died a couple of years ago. He was a superintendent up in Donegal and Letterkenny. And Paddy English was full-back that day. He's the grandfather of Mark English, the famous runner. You know, the Mark English, yeah, that runs for Ireland. He marked Tom Langan out of it. Seamus Scanlon, Brendan Lynch proved a handful for Prendergast. And the minor team players from 1951 who won the All-Ireland, they provided Mick Shivnan. He was from St. Michael's. He needed a great game in that final in 52. There were three goal scorers in the 52 final. J.J. Nerney had Roscommon's first 2 points. At half-time, the score was 1-3 to 3 points. And the elegant Eamon O'Donoghue of midfield and the powerful Boland performed a great partnership in the centre of the field. And O'Malley today regards Eamon Boland. Gerry O'Malley regarded Eamon Boland as the greatest Roscommon player he played with or saw. And that view was endorsed by Eamon Mongey, who won 2 All-Irelands at Mayo, and he regarded Eamon Boland as his and he's a man, Eamon Boland played for 15 years at Roscommon, but he regarded Eamon Boland as one of the greatest of all times in midfield. And Eamon Boland was on the Roscommon team in 44, and he gave tremendous performances in 52 and 53, as did Gerry O'Malley. So like, this win in 52 provided great hope for Roscommon, and Gerry O'Malley was the instigator of it. However, Aidan, luck ran out for Roscommon in the semi-final against Meath in 1952. They lost by 7-1-6, and that day Roscommon had the teams were level at half time, and Roscommon had a goal disallowed in the second half. It was a pity because you know, they lost the game by 2 points, but the goal disallowed was the blow. What happened was the referee blew for free in. When the goal had been scored, the referee pulled the play back for a free in. Roscommon got a free, and they lost out on the goal. So Roscommon had total control in the middle of the field in the semi-final against Meath, Eamon Boland and Eamon O'Donoghue, and the back division with O'Malley being magnificent, despite the fact that O'Malley had an injury. So J.J. Nerney had a great game in the forwards, and it's unfortunate Roscommon missed out on getting to the All-Ireland final, because Cavan beat Meath in the All-Ireland final, and in the league previously, Roscommon had beaten Meath or Cavan by 3-8 to 2 points. So Roscommon had hammered Cavan in that year's league, and Cavan went on to beat Meath in the All-Ireland final, which is a pity, you know. So there was an opportunity lost. Who knows, Roscommon could have won the All-Ireland. There was nothing between themselves and Meath, and eventually they they didn't win at Meath, but won the semi-final, and Cavan beat them in the final. But in 53-18, Roscommon went on to retain their Connacht Championship, and in that year, Roscommon scored one of their biggest ever victories over Galway ever in Shume, and it was 4-4 to 3 points. So they beat Galway by 13 points in Shume. They led 1-3 to 2 points at half time, and the second half brought a deluge in rain and a deluge of goals, and the Roscommon goals were from Eamon Brady, P. Keegan, and Eamon O'Donoghue, and they had a penalty saved. So Roscommon really blew Galway away that day in 1953, and of course Gerry O'Malley was there that day as well, and that was Roscommon's biggest ever championship victory over Galway, 13 points. They beat them by 9 points in 2017 in Pearse Stadium. Then the Connacht final laden was again, it was Roscommon against Mayo, and this time it was at Comans Park, and Roscommon won.
Oh, and just before you continue on, you did very well last week. Remember last week's tribute to Dermot Earley, we were saying wouldn't it be lovely to get to see pictures of St. Comans Park pitch on a big day, and you actually did very well. You found two pictures, Ray.
I did, and one was with the Roscommon and Galway game in 1968. It was the last ever senior championship match played in Comans Park before all senior matches were brought to Hyde Park. But I also got a great picture, Aidan, of Leitrim and Galway in 1958, and maybe I put a bit of colour to bring it to life. I'll send it to you maybe if you want to put it up on the Facebook page or whatever. But it's Leitrim and Galway in 58, one of the great kind of finals of all time, known as the Paddy McGarrity final.
Those pictures are very rare. It's very hard to you did well. I think you got them in archives, but you know, there doesn't seem to be that many of those pictures of St. Comans Park.
No, and the one thing about the Leitrim Galway picture 58, Aidan, it shows Frank Smith of Leitrim clearing the ball, and he's taking the ball away from Joe Young, who was a famous Galway player. But the lovely thing about that picture is it has the crowd and the entirety of Roscommon Castle in the background. Yeah. And that is absolutely amazing. You know, like, it's beautiful to see the castle there and the crowd. Like, there was close to 30,000 people at that match, Aidan. Like, it's unbelievable to imagine that 30,000 people were going to Connacht finals in Hyde Park or in Comans Park. You know,
and it is like, well, that's true. It is the rarity of those pictures, because, you know, they'd be very hard to get. Like, only for like you got them, and credit for that. But you know, when you look at pictures like that, it just, you know, gives you an appreciation of, because I mean, like, you can go by regularly now, St. Comans Park, and you see what it is now. So you kind of, and I know, like, back in the day, like in your day, when we were playing, it used to be used as as a training pitch and maybe the odd challenge game on it. But you know, to see it the way it has gone now, and then you see those two pictures that you found, they're completely contrasting, and it's lovely to see, because probably like yourself, you know, I love to see old pictures of what it was like back then, you know, and it gives you a sense of appreciation.
Yeah. Absolutely, Aidan. But the final was 1-6 to 6 points in Comans Park in 1950, and Roscommon won. They were the favourites. Now, that was in 53, rather. And Mayo objected to that result because they claimed Roscommon had an illegal player. And Roscommon objected as well to Mayo, the counter-objection, because Mayo had a player called Edmund Moriarty, who was a native of Boyle, playing for them. And Roscommon objected to him after Mayo had objected to a Roscommon player. But it went to a meeting anyway, and Roscommon dropped their objection to Edmund Moriarty, who played for Mayo. And when that was done, Mayo dropped their objection as well. So the whole thing finished up. And Roscommon went on to play Armagh, the All-Ireland semi-final, Aidan, in Croke Park. And just as in 1952, Roscommon just got edged out 8-7, would you believe? Again,
very close.
Yeah, a pity. Like, we could have got to the final in 53. Kerry beat Armagh in the final, but it'd be nice to have got to the final. O'Malley would have been in it. He was great again. Eamon O'Donoghue and Eamon Boland again were majestic at midfield. As I said, it was half time. Roscommon led by 5-2. So, like, it was a pity, like, you know. And the came so close, but eventually Armagh came forward and won the game by 8-7. So that was in 1953. Gerry O'Malley's second All-Ireland semi-final, his second Connacht Championship medal, and just missing out on an All-Ireland appearance in 53 as well. So, like, the 1954-1960 was a lean period. The Roscommon, you know, were there, and, you know, the Roscommon players were represented, Connacht in the Railway Cup, were Aidan Brady, Paddy English, Bat Lynch, Frank Kelly, Gerry O'Malley, Eamon O'Donoghue. They all played for Connacht during the 50s. Then, of course, Galway would have come strong in the 50s as well. Gerry O'Malley regarded Sean Purcell as the greatest player of his time. So Sean Purcell won the, himself and Frank Stockwell were the main strikers or forwards for Galway in the 50s. They won the All-Ireland in 1956, and Stockwell and Purcell were known as the Terrible Twins. But O'Malley had great time for Purcell. Purcell regarded Gerry O'Malley as one of the greats of all time, you know, so it was it was a mutual thing, you know, and O'Malley would have played on Purcell. So, like, it was a great mutual respect. But the players had great respect for each other at them times and today as well. Like, there is that mutual respect in most areas, you know. But in 54, Aidan, Roscommon shocked Galway. They beat them by 1-6 to 3 points, like, you know. And Gerry O'Malley was brilliant again. O'Donoghue was brilliant at midfield. And it was Roscommon that got through to the final. But this time, Aidan Mayo had all their preparation done, and they were ready for Roscommon, and Roscommon lost their title by 3-11 to 1-3. So it was a big defeat for Roscommon. So Roscommon beat Galway 54 in the first round. They beat Sligo 1-8 to 4 points in the next round, but Mayo were ready for them in 54, and unfortunately we lost, and Gerry O'Malley lost by 1-3 to 3-11. 55 was a quiet year for Roscommon. The next year, and Mayo won the Connacht Championship. But in 56, Roscommon were outclassed by Galway, and Gerry O'Malley was playing on that team, and just Frank Stockwell and Sean Purcell were too strong for Roscommon that day. They beat 192 points. Roscommon Miners beat Mayo 195 points in the semi-final, but were beaten by Leitrim in the Connacht final 2-7 to 1-6 in 56. And my uncle was playing in that team, Danny Lannan. He scored 1-5 of the Roscommon 1-6. He was a great free taker and a great player, but they were expected to beat Leitrim in the Connacht Minor final in 1956.
That must be where you got your great kickouts from, Ray.
Well, yeah, Danny had a great kick. Everybody says he's a great kick off the ground, and I was blessed, Aidan, with a great kick off the ground. You know, yeah. I just had a problem in the late 90s. I tore my groin when I was on the Roscommon squad, and it lingered, and it was hampering me for a good while. But then I got it sorted out. Thank God I had a good kick out, and I was in the Connacht kick fodder and everything. Like, you know, it was a gift that I had a good kick out for a long time, you know. And so my uncle Danny had a great kick. He scored 1-5 or 1-6 in the Connacht Minor final of 56, and Leitrim just beat them. Leitrim beat Donegal then in the semi final, and went on to play in the All Ireland final, where Dublin beat them heavily. But Leitrim got to the All Ireland final that year in 56. But Roscommon's senior Gerry O'Malley's career or year in 56 came to an end when they lost, of course, there in the first round to Galway. 92 points. But Gerry, he wasn't idle. He was playing for Four Roads in the hurling, and he also played for Roscommon Juniors in July that year at St Comans Park. And they played Galway, and it was a close, hard fought game played at a cracking pace. The excitement was fever pitch, and in the Roscommon battled gamely to get a leveling score near the end, and Roscommon's hero was Gerry O'Malley. The game got a bit overheated, however, it resulted in one Galway and two Roscommon players being sent off, caused some debate. But Roscommon unfortunately were beaten 3-9 to 3-7 in the Connacht Junior final in 56. And Gerry O'Malley, he played on that team, and they were.
I'm presuming the sendings off were the turning points of the game.
Well, it probably were, you know. But Gerry was playing right half forward in that game, you know. Yeah. But Roscommon were down one man, and, you know, unfortunately we lost that game by 2 points to Galway in the junior final. But in 57, Galway defeated Roscommon in the junior at Pearse Stadium. And then in 1958, Roscommon beat Galway in the junior championship, in the Connacht Junior Championship, which is brilliant, you know. But The accounts, Aidan, just to sum it up, in the 50s, the accounts of Roscommon games through the 50s are dominated by feats of the great-hearted, the lion-hearted colossus that was Gerry O'Malley. Born in Brideswell, as we said earlier, he attended the Maris Brothers School in Athlone and later UCG and UCD. He was an agricultural advisor. He played hurling for Four Roads under the guidance of Johnny Mee and was on the championship winning side of 45-46 and continued playing club hurling till 1968. In the senior club football championship, he was on 5 county winning teams, twice with St Patrick's in their crockery with Jimmy Murray and Fiona Murray, Paddy English 48 and 49, and the remainder with his native St Bridget's. His first game with Roscommon senior footballers was in Liam Gilmartin match in Crow Park in December 47 against Kerry, which Roscommon won 3-7 to 1-6. His last match was also in Crow Park in the league of 1965 against Dublin. His greatest performance was arguably in the Connacht final of 1952 against Mayo, which we just mentioned a moment ago. His greatest disappointments in football were the 62 final, which we'll come to, against Kerry, and the 52 semi-final defeat by Meath. Among the great players he mentions are Sean Purcell, Eamon Boland, Mick O'Connell, Tom Sullivan. His greatest hurling thrill was in winning his first senior championship with Four Roads in 1945, and the disappointment of losing to Tremaine in the 1968 Connacht County final. Imagine 23 years playing hurling with Four Roads. In his last hurling game with Roscommon, he got what many people wished for him for so long, the coveted All-Ireland medal with Roscommon when they defeated Warwickshire. He played 13 years running for Connacht in the Railway Cup, winning 3 medals. He played Railway Cup hurling. He represented Ireland and the combined universities for a long period and was Footballer of the Year, as you mentioned, in 1961. It's perhaps unsatisfactory just recording the statistics of his career, as many of his displays are intertwined with an emotive response nurtured by such games as the 52 and 62 Connacht finals, which we'll come to, when his unquenchable spirit shone through and will never be forgotten. He was arguably Roscommon's greatest footballer. So just a little, you know, midway through our tribute, just a recap of the great man that we're talking about. For anyone that's just joined us, it's the great Gerry O'Malley. And coming out 57, Aidan, Roscommon beat Mayo in the first round at St Comyn's Park. It was a game of two halves. Roscommon played with a strong wind in the first half and led by 6-1, but Mayo came back in the second half and eventually Roscommon won 7-6. Eamon O'Donoghue got 5 of the Roscommon points. Sean Des Dockery and Sean McNeil did well at midfield, while O'Malley did very, very well again. So it was a great win for Roscommon. But in the semi-final, Roscommon lost to Galway 13-7 at Comyn's Park. Galway were the All-Ireland champions. So Galway, you know, were very strong. In the second half of that game, O'Malley switched to midfield to partner Des Dockery, and O'Malley turned on all his power to give a superb display despite a buffeting from the opposition. For 20 minutes of this half, Roscommon were on top and reduced Galway's lead to just 3 points. But the marvellous twins, Purcell and Stockwell, had the final say, and Galway went on to meet Cork in the semi-final. And of course, Galway lost to Cork in the semi-final, and Louth beat Cork in the All-Ireland final. That's Louth's last All-Ireland. Louth, I think, won 2 All-Ireland. They won one in 1914 or around that time as well. So that was Gerry O'Malley in 57. 58, Aidan, Leitrim beat Roscommon 11-9. Roscommon were losing 11-8 towards the end, and they got a point that they looked to get a goal, but it went over the bar. But Leitrim won the game, and it was a memorable Connacht final at St Comyn's Park. That's the game, Aidan, where I've given you the photograph, you know, with Frank Smith of Leitrim coming out with the ball. That was the 1958 Connacht final in St Comyn's Park, where it was a brilliant display by Paddy McGarrity. Leitrim lost by 2 points, 2-10 to 1-11. But that photograph at the castle, we'll have to get up somewhere. It's a brilliant photograph and show people what St Comyn's Park was like.
I actually used that, Ray, for the graphic for Roscommon J memories. I think I sent it on to you.
Yeah.
I just thought they were very special photos, and I thought, you know, really, because it's Roscommon J memories, I thought that's a picture that would have to be used for that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was lovely photos.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the poignant thing about that as well was, as you just said, was the pictures of Roscommon Castle in the background.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was brilliant, Aidan, you know, and I've actually coloured in one of the photographs. I'll send it on to you if I've given you the black and white one, but I think it's a coloured one as well that I have somewhere. I'll get it on to you, Aidan. But in 58, Aidan, Roscommon beat Galway, and Gerry O'Malley had a great game for Roscommon. They won by 4-6 to 3-5. And so, like, it was a great achievement for Roscommon to beat Galway in the Junior Hurling Championship. And then in the semi-final, Roscommon lost to Antrim by 4-7 to 1-5. So a disappointment for Roscommon in the All-Ireland Junior Championship. Gerry O'Malley was midfield at that stage, yeah, and he gave an outstanding performance in that semi-final against Antrim. So then we had 1959, Roscommon had no answer to Galway in the senior championship. You know, that they had beaten by 12 points to 4, but the feature of the game once again was a marvellous display by O'Malley, who took more than a fair share of abuse on this occasion in 1959. Yeah. So, like, it was Gerry O'Malley again doing his
stuff. See, it just goes to show you when you're a special player like that, I suppose, in any sport, you know, you're going to be getting the wrong type of attention.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, during the game, like, where I suppose because a player is so good, like Gerry O'Malley, or yeah, I suppose nowadays the likes of, you know, when Peter Canavan was playing or that, you know, the only way to stop is to stop. I think some plans were, you know, the only way to stop a player like that would be not just try to stop them, but to try and injure them, which is a shame, you know. But
yeah,
it was all about stopping the main man, wasn't it?
And do what he had, and I think the GAA need to tackle that serious foul play, you know, like the professional fouls, you know. Like rugby has a good way. If a player deliberately stops by foul play another player from scoring a try, the referee awards the try. Okay, like,
yeah,
you take about like the Dublin team, the 1-5 in a row, fair enough, but do you remember the final, was it in 2017, where Dean Rock scored that free to put Dublin ahead 15 points to 14? Do you remember the winning point that Dean Rock scored?
That's right. And remember what a winning point it was.
Yeah, but do you remember David Clark then? The referee played a minute or two after that. But David Clark went to kick out the ball, right? The next thing, five or six of the Dublin forwards all sort of rugby tackled the Mayo defenders. You know, they just rugby tackled them to the ground nearly. Or, you know, they prevented David, yeah, Clark from giving them. Like, that was, it was one of the, like Jim Gavin, all right, they won it. But you know what? That sort of foul play, for me, it tarnishes that Dublin team.
But they had it won at that stage anyway, so there was no need for that.
No, they hadn't. They had, because Mayo had a chance to come up and get an equaliser. It was only 15-14 at that stage. So Mayo had a chance to kick out the ball. And they all sort of rugby tackled their markers. And like, all right, the referee stops playing, starts booking a couple of Dublin fellas. You know, it gives a guy a black card. What use is that when it takes up another minute or two of time? Do you know?
Well, that's it.
And I just think that Gaelic football needs to address that, and I think if serious foul play happens, the referee should bring the ball up to the other end of the field and award a 14-yard free or something like that. I think that they should be penalised for foul play. It took away the chance of Mayo setting up an early quick kick out to try and build up the field, you know. And that's just a little thought I had, Aidan, when you talked there about Gerry O'Malley getting abuse in 1959, and Paddy McGarrity got it in 58 in the Connacht final. People say that the jersey was ripped off him, that he was fouled so much, but there was no black card back then. But in 1959, Gerry was a hero for Roscommon. Roscommon didn't win the senior, but they won the junior Connacht championship in 59, and we had great players that went on to play senior for Roscommon after that, like PJ Watson, Eamon Curley, Mick Hoare, Roscommon Gaels, Tyke Mannion,
right,
PJ,
yeah,
Shine, Seamus Shields, I think he was from Strokestown, Frank Kenny, I think he was from Bridget's. Then you had, you know, Father Des Dockery, Atty Hines, he's from both of them were from Elphin, and Bill Jackson was the trainer. Bill Jackson was on the Roscommon team, the won the All-Irelands in the 40s, 43 and 44. So now, Aidan, we come to the 60s, and this was the golden era for Gerry O'Malley, the early 60s, coming towards the end of his career. Unfortunately, in 60, Roscommon lost to Leitrim in the first round of the championship, and it just goes to show you, Aidan, like, we look at Leitrim today and they're not that strong, but in the early 60s and 50s, Leitrim were beating Roscommon regularly. You know, all these, yeah, games here, like, you know, of course they had a great team, like they nearly beat Galway at 58 in that famous game in St. Coleman's Park. So Gerry O'Malley was selected as Sportsman of the Year in 1961 by the Association of Gaelic Sports Writers. Imagine that. Gerry O'Malley was selected as the top player in Ireland. There was no All-Star Awards that time, but he was selected.
Very proud year for Roscommon players, you know, when you get a player from your own county winning such an award.
He was voted the best player in Ireland in 1961. So he lost in 62 Leitrim 2-8 to 1-6. But in 61, Roscommon had a pretty good league campaign, Aidan. And they got to the league semi-final against Kerry. And they drew 1-8 to a piece with Kerry in the semi-final. And then Kerry beat them in the replay 4-9 to 12 points. So like, it was disappointment for Roscommon in 61. But the league was very, very positive. And they had, like, O'Malley had, you know, made great runs in the semi-final as well. And he was playing midfield in the league semi-final, would you believe, at that stage. So, like, just give you an idea of the Roscommon team in 61. Aidan Brady, John Joe Breslin, John Lynch, John Oliver Morden, Tony White, Jerry O'Malley, PJ Shine, Jerry O'Reilly, Des Feely, Emin Curley, Don Feely, Peter Watson, Ronnie Craven, and Tony Kenny. Mick Shivnan as well was still there. Dickie Byrne. Mick Shivnan was playing in 51 or in 52, you know. So, Eamon Curley got Sports Star of the Week for his performance in the league semi final. But we come then to the championship, Aidan. In the first round of the championship, Roscommon beat Sligo. Like, the fine league run had whetted the expectation of a breakthrough in the Connacht Championship. So the fans had expectations that the doldrums of the late 50s had now passed, and in 61, Roscommon had gone through a transition, and now they're ready to challenge Mayo and Galway. So Galway's great team of the late 50s had sort of was disappearing, and Roscommon got to the final to meet Galway. They'd beat Sligo in the semi-final, as I said. So the Connacht final 61 was a thriller. It was a gripping affair, a thrill a minute, a championship game worth seeing, says the papers. You know, 8 years of setbacks forgotten in glorious victory. That's what the Roscommon Herald called Roscommon's victory. And they also said that Sunday's game will never fade in the memory. And of course, that is a brilliant win by Roscommon over Galway. Not since 53 had Roscommon fans had seen great scenes of jubilation. And I suppose it's like that in Roscommon. It could be 8 or 9 years before Roscommon go from winning a Connacht final to getting another one, Aidan, you know, but just by the fact of our population and the fact that we have Mayo and Galway there as well. So Roscommon won the Connacht final in 1961 in a thriller. It was one Galway led at half time, 1-5 to 5 points, but Roscommon came through in the end, and O'Malley, of course, was the hero of the hour. Aidan Brady made some great saves and goal. John Joe Breslin had a great game in cornerback. Des Feely had one of his finest games, and the man of the match was Des Dockery. And he became a priest, but he played under the name of Des Cryan, his maternal name, because priests weren't, trainee priests or seminarians weren't allowed to play at that time. So he played as Des Des Cryan. But Des Dockery was a great footballer, and he was a fine footballer. He was a loss to Roscommon when he became unavailable. And then Aidan Brady said in an article later that the match of 1961 Connacht final was the best he ever played in. It had everything: good football, tension, thrills, and the right result. The feeling of elation and euphoria after that game was unbelievable, and you could never imagine it could be repeated, but repeated it was in 62. So, like, there's Aidan Brady talking about the euphoria. And players, it's only a few times in your life, Aidan, when you get this feeling of euphoria after a match in Gaelic football. And I just had it a few times, a couple of times, like winning the Intermediate Championship with my club in Roscommon in 1999, and probably winning the Connacht final in 92. You're just in a state of euphoria. It's just amazing. Like, nothing can put you on the high. It's just a natural high. Imagine this.
I think as well, like, you know, you and I speak from experience because we were players. I think you have to be an experience. You have to have played, you know, you have to be a player and played sport to understand how it feels. And like, sometimes the euphoria is to the extent where you actually literally have no control over it. You know, it just comes and that's it. You know, like, I suppose the pride of winning, you know, it's a group thing as well. You're winning it with people you've trained with, people you've clubmates as well, and so, you know, at county level and things like that. You know, nothing can buy that, or, you know, nothing can explain it, isn't that it?
That's true, Ed, and that's the beauty of team sport, that you can share your successes with your teammates and also share your setbacks. But coming from a small area where I come, small club, and to win an intermediate championship is like winning out, like, it's just a massive thing, because and it's the old Irish saying, it's rudis ana visintuk, you know, what's seldom is brilliant. And like, to win a Connacht championship is brilliant. Like, I won a minor one, and even to win the minor one at 17 with your teammates, as you said, playing with all your, and being underdogs and putting in so much effort and commitment and hoping everything to go well in the day. And next thing you win it, suddenly you realise you're going to Croke Park. It's just an amazing feeling. And it's one of the advantages of coming from a smaller area is when you do have a limited amount of success, it's just a brilliant euphoric feeling. And I think.
And of course, you know, you played that year with your teammate, with Dermot Washington was on that team as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and that added to it as well. The fact that you played with a team, a club mate.
That's right, Eden. And Parks Reynolds was one of our selectors, a local man, neighbour of mine, and a great man as well. He brought us to all the games. And not alone that minor team for Roscommon, five of the team was from my club, my school team in St. Mel's in Longford. So I knew, like, Richie Glover, Keith Murphy, Ross O'Callaghan, Dermot Washington, and myself, we had all played for St. Mel's that year. So we had that great bond as well. And I think as well, the CBS had a great bond. There was a lot, Liam Murray, you know, Alan Nolan, Kevin Keegan, Jason Hoare. You know, there was a lot of players from the CBS there as well, Aidan. And also, the other team was St. Aloysius and Athlone. So, like, there was players from St. Aloysius as well that were very, very, they had a good season. So you had three school teams making up that Roscommon minor team, which was brilliant. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it sort of like summed up the three parts of Roscommon, like the north, the mid and the south. You know what I mean? You have the southern students go to Aloysius or you have the mid players going to the CBS, and then the northern players up near where I am, you know, around Strokestown, Rooski and Finn, going over to St. Mel's at the time, you know. So it was great as well to have that connection with all of those team players. And, but like it's great to see, you know, Aidan Brady just summing it all up there in 1961, talking about the euphoria of winning that kind of final against Galway. He says it was the best match he ever played in, you know, and it was absolutely brilliant, you know. And that's the great thing about sport. It's when you win, the highs are so good. Like, and I suppose if a team is so successful, they can nearly expect to win. They sort of lose that feeling. Do you know what I mean, Aidan? And, you know, it's great to see a new team coming along as well that hasn't won it so often. Like when Clare won in 92 in the football, they beat Kerry. That was brilliant. Can you imagine the euphoria they would have felt? Or Leitrim winning the final in 1994.
It was awfully in 83.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or Sligo in 2007. And that's one thing I think, Aidan, that the GAA has missed out on the last few years is shocks, you know, new teams coming along. We haven't seen that much, you know. Like the final score is...
Would you say that's because maybe the way the draws went or something, or, you know, the championship draws went, or was it just the way things panned out in a particular match?
I think, Aidan, I think myself that we're not going to see, this is my own opinion, I don't think the way the demographics are running that we'll see a Sligo or Leitrim being, you know, at the very top level for a long, long time. I think population is, the young population is moving more and more to the East Coast, Dublin, Kildare, you know, Meath, they're all moving up there a lot. And the population, playing population, I don't think is as strong as it should be. Like Leitrim's population is staying stagnant, you know what I mean? It's not growing. Like, you know, these counties, we've been through the populations before, like Meath, population up towards 200,000, Kildare, 200,000, Dublin, 1.5 million, even Wicklow, well over 150,000, you know, Louth, 150,000. All these population centres up there are, you know, smaller counties, like as I said, we're punching above our weight, but these counties that already have big populations are getting bigger and bigger, the population. So I think that politically there needs to be something done to sort of address the migration to the East Coast in Ireland. It's becoming totally lopsided, you know, in my opinion.
That's another thing though that has crept into the game, where, you know, a lot of students, you know, that play in colleges as well, like, you know, playing for the universities and all that, you know, when the college season finishes, some actually they don't play for their clubs or whatever, or they don't play for their county. They opt to go to America for the summer and do it that way, where they get paid and things like that. They have jobs, you know. So that's another Yeah. Probably added attraction nowadays that probably wasn't there back in those days in the Gerry O'Malley era.
No, it was not Aidan. But if you look at the migration, our two greatest players, arguably, of all time, Gerry O'Malley and Dermot Earley, both of them had to leave the county. You know, both of them left. Like, if you see in Kerry, most of the legends in Kerry stay in Kerry. You know, like the Bomber Liston, yeah. Mikey Sheehy, Charlie Nelligan, Mick O'Connell, Mick O'Dwyer. They all still live down in Kerry. They made their lives in Kerry. They didn't have to move to Cork or to Meath or whatever. Like Gerry O'Malley, Dermot Earley. Gerry O'Malley went to Dublin. Dermot Earley went to Kildare, you know. But that's just, you know, it's just symbolic of the drift in population from Roscommon and counties like Roscommon to different counties in Ireland. But getting back to Gerry O'Malley, that kind of final aid in 61, I didn't give you the final score, is 111-27. So Roscommon won by a point against Galway, and that was the resurgence of Roscommon. And Des Dockery was man of the match that day. But Gerry O'Malley had a great game. But in the semi final aid, there was disappointment. Roscommon were well beaten. Gerry O'Malley's team were beaten 3-6 to 6 points by Offaly, and there was a crowd of 64,000, and Roscommon had almost 75% of the play in the first half but failed to take their chances, you know. So Offaly then got 3 goals, you know. They really knocked the stuffing out of Roscommon. Like, they were half time, it was 6-1-2 in favour of Roscommon, but 2 goals in the second half just did it for Roscommon. And Offaly went through to the final, where they lost to Down. So, like, Roscommon had, the team was Aidan Brady, John Joe Breslin, John Lynch, John Oliver Moore, Tony White, Gerry O'Malley, PJ Shine, Des Cryan, George Geraghty, who was from Roscommon. I think he was from Roscommon Town, wasn't he? Des Feely, Curley, Don Feely, Peter Watson, Mick Shivnan, and Tony Kenny. Gerry O'Reilly came on. He was a neighbour of mine, Gerry O'Reilly from Rooski. Ronnie Craven came on.
Thanks very much, Ray. And that was Ray Lannan, former Roscommon goalkeeper. And this was a tribute to former Roscommon legend, Gerry O'Malley.
Schwarzenegger said that Gerry O'Malley promised that Roscommon would be back. And they were. They were back the following year. But in the meantime, in 61, Roscommon Hurlers, Gerry was still playing for Roscommon Hurlers. And they lost to Meath that year by 3-5 to 3-3, and Gerry was still, you know, a great servant to Roscommon. So they had wins over Sligo, Leitrim, and then they met Meath in the All-Ireland Junior semi-final at Trim, but they lost 3-5 to 3-3. But then, now we come to 62, probably the most famous year of Gerry O'Malley's career, and that was the year of the broken crossbar in Castlebar, and it was a Lazarus type recovery for Roscommon. Roscommon won the Connacht final in 62 by 3-7 to 2-9, which was 16-15. But the Connacht championship began with a 3-6 to 1-11 win at Charlestown over Sligo, rather, and Roscommon led 2-5 to 1-4 at half time. But Roscommon ran out comfortable winners. Well, by a point, just by a point, 3-6 to 1-11 is a point. But in the Connacht final, then, Roscommon played Galway in Castlebar, and the referee was the famous Mick Higgins from Cavan. He played in the famous Cavan teams of the 40s, and he was a referee. And Mick Higgins, he also trained teams. Mick Higgins trained Longford to win the Leinster Championship in 1968. He played for Cavan right through the 40s and early 50s, 52. He played the Polo Grounds in New York, and he became a referee. And that was something that happened that time, Aidan. Former players became referees, like Sean O'Callaghan from Dublin. He was a hurler for Dublin, became a referee. He disallowed a goal on Roscommon against Meath in 1952. He gave a free in instead. Mick Higgins of Cavan became a referee for many years. Mickey Kearns from Sligo became a referee. Peter McDermott of Meath, he refereed an All-Ireland final. He played an All-Ireland final. So that was a thing that was done at the time, that former players would go on to referee matches, which was a great thing. So
and that was kind of good too, because you know, being former players, they'd understand, and there'd be more reasoning behind the decision rather than just, you know, do you know what I mean? You had that insight because of being a former player. You had that kind of insight.
You would, surely, and you think former players would let the game flow, and they'd be conscious of the fans and the entertainment value of the game, you know, and they'd know how to.
Yeah.
If say if a fight broke out in the first minute, a former player would be able to bring maybe the captains together and say, right, next man steps out of line, he's gone. You know, if, he would book players, he would deal with it in a way that, that I think a great understanding, you know, rather than maybe sending a man off straight away, he'd have a word with the captains. And that's a good thing in rugby at the moment. The captains are brought in by the ref.
That is very good. And maybe that's something they could bring into Gaelic. I was just thinking there, you know, with the... you know, the huge achievements, and I suppose that was the difference between Jerry O'Malley's generation and Dermot Leary's generation. Was I think when Jerry O'Malley was playing, there was no such a thing as the All-Stars. They only came along kind of in more in Dermot Leary's era. But could you imagine, like, if there was All-Stars back in when Jerry O'Malley was playing, he would have probably won All-Stars in both sports.
He probably would, Aidan. And at that time, there was a Sports Star of the Year written for the journalists, and then there was a thing called a Texaco Player of the Year in hurling and football that came in as well in the '50s. You know, Texaco Player of the Year, and the All-Stars started in 71 rather. The All-Stars.
Yeah.
And Jerry O'Malley was just missed out on that by, you know, he finished in 65. So Roscommon's first All-Star, I think, was Mickey Frayne in 72. So, Jerry O'Malley you can only imagine how many All-Stars Jerry O'Malley would have won.
Yeah. You know, he would have been kind of the DJ Carey of Roscommon, because, you know, the amount of that he could have won.
Absolutely, yeah. And he did win the Sports Writers Player of the Year in 1961, which was, you know, the highest accolade a player could have got at the time, you know, so... Jerry O'Malley, you know, he definitely was recognised at the time by the writers and by the people watching football as the great player that he was, you know. So, but no, that was his era. He didn't, you know, get an All-Star because he wasn't around. But that final in 62, the Jerry O'Malley final, the crossbar broke, and Roscommon were losing the game by 5 points at the time. So. You know, the report said Roscommon down the years have won, lost many memorable games, but this victory over Galway in 1962 in the Connacht final will never be forgotten by the thousands of joyous supporters of blue and gold, if only for the concluding fantastic 8 minutes of an epic and pulsating clash. So the inspiration for those fantastic final 8 minutes was Jerry O'Malley, the man we're talking about today. The sports reporters did their best, but realised that all their superlatives fell short. The Irish Independent said, the unsurpassable Jerry O'Malley has done it again. His was a masterly exhibition. Jack Mahon in the Gaelic Weekly magazine said the lion-hearted O'Malley, and the Herald says O'Malley was incomparable. It was his finest hour from his legion of supporters' point of view. All the drama came at the second half, Aidan, when the sides were level at 1-3 apiece. Galway raced into a 2-6-1-4 lead in the second half then. Tony White getting to Roscommon goal. And in an attempt to save a score, like this is 2-6-1-4, in an attempt to save a score, Aidan Brady, the Roscommon goalkeeper, swung from the crossbar that broke. And he said later, when I swung from the crossbar, I never know. As they set about fixing it, some Galway people shouted, get the crossbar from the other goal. They won't want it down there anymore. So, like, that was, you know, they figured the Roscommon weren't in the game. And, you know,
Do you remember the exact same thing happened, was it, I think, in 92 in the senior final?
That's right.
Where the crossbar was broken, but they didn't, unfortunately, Roscommon didn't win that day. But it was nearly like... history repeating itself as well.
Well, Aidan, I've a little bit of a story about that crossbar in 92 when the crossbar broke. That was 30 years nearly to the day after Aidan Brady broke the crossbar. But that was Roscommon's senior final between Roscommon and Mayo, which Roscommon were doing very, very well in. And next thing, a man was sent off. And then Roscommon gave away a very, very bad goal. You know, a very soft goal.
I think Percy Grant was sent off that day.
Tommy.
Tommy, Frank, yeah, Tommy, yeah.
But in the second half, Aidan, Enan Gavin... race back to save a ball going into the net. It went over the bar, but he swung out the crossbar and it broke. And then it came, they got a new crossbar. But Mayo just ran away with it after that. But in that very same day, the crossbar broke in Castlebar. We played, that was the day we played the Conor Minor final against Mayo in 92. And yeah. I was in goals, in that goals in the first half when the crossbar...
You kept the crossbar intact though.
Well, I did, but you know what, Aidan? I didn't swing out of it, but I never did swing out of crossbars. But one thing I do remember about that game is we beat Mayo by 10-9, and like we were mad outsiders to win that match. But I'll never forget in the first half, there was a guy, I think it was Declan McDonagh, and he came through, and I can still see him coming through, and he took a shot from 21 yards out. And all I can remember seeing the ball leaving his boot. And the next time I saw the ball, It had landed about 30 yards out from the Roscommon goal. What it had done, Aidan, was it had hit that crossbar and rebounded out and it got cleared. But like if it was an inch below, it was a goal because I didn't see it. It was a rasper of a shot. So whether that shot had anything to do with the crossbar being vulnerable to breaking, I don't know. But Enan broke it, swung over. It wasn't his fault. It was just poor material. But in the minor game, Mayo hit the crossbar and we didn't concede a goal that day, thank God. And we held on to win by a point in the end. But Gerry O'Malley is the man we're talking about here, and he gave a masterful display. Aidan Brady doesn't know why he swung over the crossbar. But it was the break that Roscommon needed, you know, because they were out of the game. It was like a timeout. But during the respite, whenever the officials were fixing the crossbar, the teams reshuffled their forces with Eamon Curley going to centre half back in the Roscommon team. John Stafford Kelly was midfield, he went to centre forward, and Gerry O'Malley was brought to midfield. Galway resumed on the offensive with a point, but then O'Malley took the game by the scruff of the neck. So it's 2-7 to 2-4 in favour of Galway. And PJ Shine replaced Cyril Mahon. So O'Malley went on a solo run, he was fouled, and Cyril Mahon punched the ball to the back of the net. So now it was 2-7 to 2-4. It had been 2-7 to 1-4. Galway replied with points from Cyril Dunn and Layden. So it's 2-9 to 2-4. So then Tony White and Don Feely got points to make it 2-9 to 2-6. Then O'Malley went on another run and the ball was punched clear. It was caught by Don Feely and he stuck it in the back of the net, 2-9 now to 3-6. So time was almost up. Galway come with the tack. Eamon Curley clears the ball to O'Malley. He comes on a surge up the field, past many rivals. He beat so many men, it says here. He went through a crowd. The Roscommon crowd put support for willing him on. And the Galway players and fans at this stage were stunned and they were awestruck. And O'Malley released the pass to Don Feely. He got around his marker and he kicked the ball over the bar, and Roscommon won by a point. And the reports say pandemonium of celebration broke out among the Roscommon supporters. Stunned disbelief by the Galway fans and disconsolate players. There were fine performances by Aidan Brady in goals, John Oliver Morden at fullback. Sean Purcell had a great game in his last Connacht final. Eamon Curley, Bat Lynch, John Joe Breslin, Bernie Kine, Tony White, the Feelies and Mahon had their moments, but the abiding memory is of the colossus, the brilliant Gerry O'Malley, who was star man and brought Roscommon back from the dead. He was like a Lazarus. The performance he did time after time, Aidan, he went on these runs running at the Mayo or the Galway defence, setting up attacks, setting up scores, and nobody could stop him. In fairness, that day there's no story or no talk of him being pulled or dragged down that day. So credit the Galway defence that they were fair. You know, they observed sportsmanship towards him. But great performance by Gerry O'Malley in the Conor final. No, they didn't, and it was a great win. But then Aidan, Roscommon got to the All Ireland semi final and they beat Cavan by 1-8 to 1-6. It wasn't a classic match, but Roscommon won by 1-8 to 1-6. John Oliver Morden had a great game. O'Malley had a good game in the half back line. He got good assistance from Gerry O'Reilly and Ronan Craven. The midfield, Bernie Kine and John Kelly as well, and Tony Kinney got the vital goal. Eamon Curley was subdued that day, but he was a great player, Eamon Curley. Cavan led 1-1 to 2 points at half time, but then Roscommon took over the second half and they won by 1-8 to 1-6. So now Aidan, Roscommon are in the All-Ireland final, Gerry O'Malley's one and only All-Ireland final, 1962 against Kerry in Croke Park. Yeah, and Unfortunately, it was a disappointing game. Kerry won by 112 to 16. They got a goal after 35 seconds. Gary McMahon scored it. Probably the fastest goal in All-Ireland final. I think John O'Connor's was second later in 1980. So Mick O'Connell was playing midfield for Kerry. Tom Long was full forward, and the goal that was scored after 35 seconds, a high ball in, Tom Long, the full forward, went to it with John Lynch, the Roscommon full back line, in the full back line. It broke to Gary McMahon and he scored. But it was a disappointing game for Gerry O'Malley, because he got injured early on, Aidan, and he had to be taken off. So here was his finest moment in Croke Park in the All-Ireland final, and he had to retire midway through the second half. He retired, but he got the blow early on in the game. So it was a disappointment day for Gerry O'Malley. There's a great picture with Sean O'Sheehy, and I'll send that to you as well before the game. Don Feely scored Roscommon's goal, but it wasn't to be for Gerry O'Malley in 1962, and it was a disappointing result to lose by 112 to 16. So there, after all the years, start in 1947, Gerry gets to the final in 62, but it didn't go his way. Just like Dermot early in 1980, Kerry got the edge over Roscommon, and Roscommon were never really in the game. Like, it was 1-8 to 1-1 at half time, and Roscommon made a bit of a rally in the second half, but not it wasn't to be. It would have been a great fitting career end to his career, Aidan, right, there's no question about it. But again, it wasn't to be. He goes down as one of the greats that didn't win in All-Ireland. But Aidan, he continued to play for Roscommon in the hurling and in the football right till 1965. Now, 1963 was a disappointing year for Roscommon. They lost in the Connacht Championship, and they lost to the first round of the championship, and they lost to Leitrim down in Sligo. They lost by 1-8 to 1-3. So it was a disappointment for Gerry O'Malley down in Markvicks Park. So the league had been, they got a pretty good run in the league from 63-64. But then the 64 championship was, again, they beat Leitrim after a draw in the first two matches. So it was third time lucky. But they lost to Mayo by 3-9 to 1-7, Aidan.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be Gerry O'Malley's last football championship game for Roscommon. So they beat Leitrim in the last game against Leitrim. They beat them 5-9 to 1-10. So they had three matches against Leitrim, and the team felt confident for the semi final clash with Mayo at Castlebar, and they were disappointed. Now, in fact, Gerry O'Malley, according to reports, Aidan, played his last game against that Leitrim game when they won 5-9 to 1-10. And the report said he scored 2-7 against Leitrim. That was his last championship match. But he didn't play in the next game against Mayo, which they lost by 3-9 to 1-7. So that was the first time that in 9 years, would believe, in 1964, that Mayo had got through the first round. So Mayo had gone through a very, barren period in Connacht. They hadn't got round past the first round from 1955 to 64, which is incredible. And if you look at Mayo, Aidan, this is an incredible statistic. Between 1955 and 1981, that's 26 years, Mayo only won two Connacht championships. Would you believe that, senior?
No.
Isn't that amazing? But Gerry O'Malley played his last match for Roscommon in the Connacht Championship against Leitrim in 1964, and it was the third game. There was two draws, and Roscommon eventually lost to Mayo in the Connacht semi-final. So Roscommon won the Connacht Junior Championship in 1964, but Gerry had played senior, and he wasn't on the junior team, he played senior. But he had finished off then in the senior championship for Roscommon, and a glittering career, Aidan, had come to an end. However, the last moment we can talk about in Gerry's career was his All-Ireland junior hurling victory with Roscommon in 1965. So it's 1965 stands out as one of the few historic hurling years in Roscommon. The hurlers have been knocking on the door of a junior All-Ireland for a number of years in the 60s and finally made the breakthrough. And many people were happy to see Gerry O'Malley finally win a Celtic Cross All-Ireland medal. They defeated Sligo 5-7 to 2-1 and then beat Mayo 1-6 to 5 points to take their fifth Connacht four county hurling championship in a row. In the semi final, Roscommon defeated Kerry by 5-11 to 2-10 at St Comans Park on the 30th of August. And this was a fine display. At half time, the side led by 2-8 to 4 points. O'Malley was reported as having his best hour yet. You know, then Armagh had no answer to Roscommon in the home final. Aidan, the All Ireland Junior home final was played at Croke Park, and Roscommon won by 6-8 to 1-3, and Gerry O'Malley scored a great goal in the last few minutes. So the entire team rose to the occasion in Croke Park with Gerry O'Malley winning the home final in All Ireland, and that was in 1965 against Armagh. So then Roscommon had to play the away final then against Warwickshire. And this was Gerry O'Malley's last game in the county colours. He had finished playing for the senior team in the spring of 1965. So the game was against Warwickshire, and the Roscommon won by the narrowest of margins. It is the first time a Roscommon team had won an All-Ireland hurling title. The first time an All-Ireland final was played in Roscommon. So it was played in Comans Park, and it was the biggest crowd to attend a hurling game in Roscommon. So it ensured that Gerry O'Malley got his All-Ireland medal. So at Comans Park, Aidan, the first half, Roscommon played with a strong breeze, and they led at half time by 1-4 to 3 points. So, led by 2-6 to 1-6, I beg your pardon. 17 minutes into the second half, Roscommon were only a point ahead, 2-7 to 1-9. Tom Boyle was another good player for Roscommon. He got injured. And then Mick Glennon came on, and he made his mark. He kicked a pass to Mick Hoare, and Mick Hoare scored a goal. Glennon added a point, and Roscommon seemed home and dried. However, Warwickshire came with a flurry and scored 1-2. Due to the absence of a scoreboard, many Roscommon supporters felt Roscommon was still leading, when in fact the scores were level 3-8 to 2-11. But in the dying seconds, Mick Hoare belted over the winning point, and at the final whistle of a fine sporting game, the scores stood Roscommon 3-9, Warwickshire 2-11. And there was great jubilation when the president of the GA, Alf Murray, presented the Dr. Herbert Mackey Cup to Roscommon captain Mick Hoare. And Gerry O'Malley was on that team. He won his All-Ireland medal. So the team was T. Gavin, T. Moylett, P. Lyons, T. Murphy, B. Mitchell, that's Brian Mitchell, J. Kenny, M. Keane, S. Cormick and M. Laffey, G. O'Malley, J. Boland, R. Fallon, Mick Hoare, Tom Boyle and J. MacDonald. So M. Glennon came on. The other subs were B. Kelly, N. Daly, G. Flanagan, N. Rowe, A. Carr, M. Murphy, C. Mahon, J. O'Connor, D. Carroll, C. Leahy, B. Connaughton, J. Crowell. So Gerry O'Malley was right half forward in that team, Aidan, in 1965, and he won his All-Ireland medal. So that was the last great hurrah of a great man, a great career, and Gerry O'Malley served Roscommon with distinction in football and hurling for almost 20 years, and he was a great supporter of St. Bridget's for many, many years after he retired. And in 2013, when Bridget's won the All-Ireland, he was in the dressing room after the game with the players, and he was very happy to see his native club win the All-Ireland Club Championship. And then on the 5th of January... Yeah, he died. Yeah, and then Gerry O'Malley died on the 5th of January 2016. He was 87 years of age, and after a glittering career for Four Roads, St. Patrick's, St. Bridget's, Connacht and Roscommon in both hurling and football, and he died in Blanchardstown, the native of Brideswell, County Roscommon, and former agricultural advisor, but a colossus of Irish Roscommon sport, Roscommon football, Gerry O'Malley. And as we said at the beginning of the programme, Aidan, he's alive in folklore, and the folklore of so many fans that remember his performances in Castlebar, in Comans Park and Croke Park. And he'll never be forgotten, and credit goes to the people of Brideswell and that area down in South Roscommon, who built a tremendous commemoration statue to the great Gerry O'Malley in 2016, and it's a place I'd like to visit someday and go down and see the statue, and just to look back on a man who gave it everything. Aidan, you know, himself and Dermot Early, they gave it everything. Jimmy Murray, they're the three men, I suppose, at Roscommon that are in folklore, you know, with their heroics down through the decades. But he'll never be forgotten, and we've said it so often time, Nivai Alehage Arishan, the late great Gerry O'Malley.
Thanks very much, Ray, and that was Ray Lannan, former Roscommon goalkeeper, and this was a tribute to former Roscommon legend Gerry O'Malley.